All right, hello, welcome everybody to the NeuroDive podcast. It's been a while, which is often the way with me and projects and things like that. But I am currently working with a young man who has got an interest in starting his own podcast. So I thought, as a way of giving him a bit of a taster, I would invite him to be a guest on my podcast. And I've worked with this young man for probably a couple of years now.
Yeah.
I suppose, are you happy to share your name?
Hi, my name's Zach Cossey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can call you Zach now. I just wanted to check that first.
Yeah.
And I thought, just because I've known Zach a while and we've been working together a lot, and I think his journey's really important and interesting, I thought I'd kick off a new set of episodes by just interviewing you, Zach.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Now, we talked a little bit before recording just about maybe telling a bit of your story and your experiences with, I guess, education, anything else you're willing to share, and what's kind of not helped you and what's helped you now, yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start off at, well, not the very beginning, but let's start off at the start of primary school.
As I say, I'm not sure you remember that much about your birth, do you?
No. Yeah. Yeah, so the first few years of primary school were okay because no one really understood the idea of bullying. They wouldn't, like, no one was really nice to me, but no one was really horrible to me, if that makes sense. Okay. I was pretty much on my own, but that was fine with me because I was a child. I didn't really understand it. But by the year two, I was already getting that sense of hatred towards me. Okay. I was feeling like people would call me names, obviously not too horrible ones because it's year two, no one understood swear words or anything, but I kind of felt like an outsider looking in.
Okay. And did you have an understanding of why that might be at that time?
I understood that I was a bit different to the other kids. I didn't quite think the same. I didn't know I had autism at this point.
Right.
But I knew I didn't think the same. I knew I was a bit more heavier than other kids. I knew that certain parts of my aspect of life was different. I knew that.
Yeah.
And I also knew that I was a bit slower when it comes to certain things than other kids. Like, when it came to spelling and handwriting, I just couldn't do it. When it came to, like, by the year two, people were tying their shoelaces. I couldn't do it until year five because of my struggle with these kind of things.
Yeah. Did you have anything that you were, like, equally much better than your peers at that time?
By this point, I was already pretty good at mathematics. I was the only person in the year at this point that could do the times tables without having too many issues.
Okay.
I was the only one that was like, okay, let's do 9 times tables or 7s or the ones that were difficult at the time for us.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was like, let's do 2s, 5s, 10s and 3s because those are the easy ones.
Yeah. Okay, so you had those sort of areas of strength,
yeah,
areas where you were...
Yeah, by year two, I decided, I'm really angry, because at this point I had anger issues, and I didn't resolve them until like year four-ish time, so okay. I was like...
And that was because of all the name-calling?
Yeah, all the name-calling, everything was horrible. Mm. But at this point I was like, I need to get rid of some of this anger. I'm going to start going to my martial arts class.
Okay.
So I started going to martial arts. It kind of helped the issue. It didn't resolve the issue, but I was kind of like, maybe you could say it was dimmed, but not off.
Took the edge off, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old were you then?
I must have been, so year two, I'm in year 11 now, so what, I've been like,
what, year
seven?
Two of primary
school? Year two of primary school, so like seven or six?
Six, seven, yeah.
Yeah.
And with martial arts, like, because that was a sort of, it wasn't a martial arts club for neurodivergent people, so...
No, it was a normal mainstream martial arts class. If it was neurodivergent, I wouldn't be let in because they didn't know I was autistic at the point.
Oh, okay.
So
when did you find that out?
Year 7 of secondary.
Okay. So, oh, wow, okay, so a long time after all these kind of feelings, I guess.
If anyone that's listening doesn't know what year 7 means, it's also year 1 of secondary. That's the other way of knowing it.
Okay. And what, I mean, what about if someone listening doesn't know what being autistic means? Like,
okay, so autism is where you have a different wiring of your brain and you think slightly different to, what's the word? Like, just normal people? Like
the majority, I suppose.
The majority, yeah. But I kind of view the world as black and white. I don't see, like, a middle ground in most things. I just see you're either doing something yes or something no. There's no middle ground for me most of the time.
Okay.
So that's why I was struggling so much with primary school, because people were like, why is your opinion so weird? Why are you like this?
Mm.
By year three and year four, people started to learn how to swear and how to like get under people's skin quite well. And by year three and year four, they started making like they started making anti-bullying stuff at school, but it never worked because they had like a buddy bench. But obviously, if they had a buddy bench, that would not, the bullies would now know who to go after, because they would see someone on the buddy bench and be like, oh, this kid's lonely, let's go after him.
So do you think that's like a common mistake that schools make, maybe, that they sort of do things to support the young people that actually mark them out as different?
I think apart from one incident with the school, there hasn't been any good, like resolves for bullying. And the only one that I know was back in my primary school, and they can't do that in secondary, where they made a room with a pastoral, and all the people that felt lonely or bullied could go there at lunchtime, break time, in the mornings, and they would, like, just get to chat, have fun, and it was kind of like a different playground for the other people.
Okay.
And it was quite nice, but
there was
a person from my school, there was a person called Miss Salter. She was very good, but I don't think they could have done that for secondary, because of secondary, it was kind of like a childish area, but when you're a child, it's not childish.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, in secondary, if a bully really wanted to get to you, they would go up there, but in primary, they wouldn't care.
Right.
They would rather be hanging out with their friends talking about football or something.
No, but maybe that is, I mean, I certainly think having a safer, supported space for free play time and social interaction time would actually be quite beneficial for most schools, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Okay, so you started martial arts, you're at primary, the bullying stepped up a bit.
Yeah.
What happens between then and going to secondary?
So by the point of end of year four, I was downgraded for the first time because I got so angry that I punched a kid. Right. And that means I was back to white belt. Going into year five and year six, I had bit less anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, again, working with Miss Salter, and she was helping me dissolve this anger. And year five, year six was probably the easiest years for me.
Okay.
Because I had really good teachers, really good people that I could trust. There were some incidents which I do think were horrific, but like year six was probably the hardest year for me. But year five and year six was the easiest in the sense of most of a normal day looked the easiest, but they also had the biggest problems when they did strike.
I see. So most days were okay.
Yeah.
But when it did go wrong, it went really wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
So there was an incident in year five where I got so angry that I could kill someone, because that's how angry I got. Back at the point of time, I didn't realise how horrific that saying is.
Yeah.
So
you didn't really know what you were saying.
Yeah, I was just like, I can get so angry that I might kill someone, and it was just like that.
But what were they doing? Like, what kind of got you to that point? Like,
pretty much, I think some people were calling me like horrific names. Yeah. Like, they were calling me fat, they were calling me ugly, they were calling me like, you'll never get a girlfriend, this kind of stuff.
And it was quite constant.
It was just constant. Yeah. On and on and on. And then I went to the teachers and I was like, please help me. And they didn't. So I was just like, I'm angry to the point where I could kill someone, and they were just like, stop.
Yeah.
And then I got sent to the head teachers, and that's one of the situations. The other two happened in year six. One of them was where I got locked outside of a bathroom, the year six bathroom, because I really needed a wee.
That was other kids playing.
Yeah, there was four kids behind the door trying to stop me from getting in. Right. By the time I got in, teacher didn't see that there was people in there. They were just thinking the door was problem. And he just said,
yeah,
you're blocking the door. Can you hurry up? And I was like, there's people behind the door. And she just walked off. So when I actually finally got in, they went out. Because, well, yeah. And then I went down to the playground, and because we had these tires, I just started meditating on a tire, because by this point I thought that's a really good way to calm myself down.
Yeah.
And I just feel a massive shove come on me, because they started saying Mary Pushmush, which is the game where they just push people around, and I wasn't playing, so it wasn't like they had any excuse to do it.
No.
When
these were not even.
And then I got pushed the other way, and then my hand got trapped under the tire. And then they pushed me one last time, snapping my finger.
Oof, mate.
Yeah, it was. And then what really, it wasn't them that made me so angry that I was genuinely, that was one of the worst days of primary school. It was the doctor that they have there, the school nurse. The school nurse looked at me and said, "That ain't broken."
Right.
And yeah, it was just like.
I went to the
doctor a couple of days later, and they said, that is broken. You need to go to Exeter and get it put in a cast and stuff. And
right, so they just didn't listen.
Yeah.
Going back to just quickly, there was a couple of things I wanted to ask about. I mean, first of all, those kids that were pushing you and then locking you out of the toilet.
Yeah.
They're not people that you played with or interacted with.
One of them was, but I made it very clear to him that I don't like him anymore.
Right.
At that point, because it was one of my friends from the very young age.
Yeah.
But then he became more and more toxic of a friend.
Yeah.
Because
I guess one thing that quite often is a difficult thing for the adults looking in to unpick is this bullying or is this sort of friendship teasing? Because as a lad growing up, I mean, we used to do things like, we called it hedging, where if you saw someone you knew walking past the hedge, you'd literally just shove them in the hedge. But they were always people that I was friends with. I would never do it to a kid that I didn't talk to.
Yeah, because
that's bullying, isn't it? Yeah, so I think that's an important difference, is actually these were kids that weren't your friends teasing you. These were
just people being horrible. Horrible, yeah. Okay. And then the final incident cannot be seen as anything else apart from, like, police call worthy.
Yeah.
So I was in, I think it was an English lesson with this guy called, I don't know if I'm allowed to say
No, don't say names. Okay. I wouldn't name the school either. Okay. Just in case.
So this guy was sat opposite me, and these tables are very small, so they can't fit both A4 books on the table. So I just push my book to write the final bit of the book. Bit of the whatever I was writing at the time on the bottom of the book, because I wanted stability, and he started pushing it back, and I started pushing it back, and then he got so angry that he just jumped at me trying to punch me in the face.
Right.
And then I just then the teacher was like, go to the Daily Mile now, and we all rushed down to the Daily Mile. All of the kids in that year, apart from him,
the whole rushed class,
the whole year,
right?
So both classes.
She told you to all go to this place, and everybody went. That's a weird strategy.
But he got locked in the classroom.
Right.
He punched a hole through this brand new TV that they had, which is like a touchscreen TV. It was like pretty much like an LED whiteboard. Punched a hole through that, punched a hole through the door, got locked in the bathroom, punched a hole through that.
So actually this other young person maybe had their own issues, and the teacher was getting you guys out of the way. This guy had issues.
He ran down to me, punched me four or five times in the back of the head, the back and the stomach. Four teachers had to come pick him up
right.
and like put them like one holding each limb. he kicks the head teacher in, kicks the head teacher in the balls, pushes the fire alarm 3 times. This is in the same day, but not all at the same time. Then he punches 4 more different people from my year.
Yeah.
The police was phoned, and he was put into a different school.
Right.
This kid that I'm talking about, even though I was the person that started this issue, even though I don't believe I was the problem.
Well, you didn't. Yeah.
This kid has not stopped with me. Because he has been, the police has been phoned 2 more times after this.
Right, even though he left the school.
Yeah, because of in secondary he had 2 more incidents with me.
Right, so yeah. he ended up at the same secondary as you.
Yeah.
Okay, so just going back to Miss Salter, is it Mrs. Salter or what's
Mrs. Salter? Yeah.
Mrs. Salter. When you said things were going really well and like she was helping you, what would she do? Was there anything you can remember about what kind of helped?
So, in the mornings, on a Friday, we would go into her room and we would have, like, some fruit, like, and that was nice. And at lunchtime on a Friday, I remember they would put, like, do you know the game Just Dance?
Yes.
They would put Just Dance on and we'd have music on. And there was a little tent in the corner if anyone hadn't slept, and they'd get to sleep in the tent.
Okay.
And it was just really nice, and
just
also,
like nurturing.
Also, if someone was like, I'm feeling like I can exercise today, there was like a, I think there was a 3 kilo medicine ball, and we would do sit-ups with it.
Oh, nice.
And me and one of my other friends at the time were like, oh, you know what? I challenge you to do more sit-ups than me in 5 minutes.
Right, so you could
And
do
we
that.
Just did that every single morning.
Cool.
And it got to a point where it just felt like a just group of people that you could trust.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just nice.
So they kind of facilitated some friendships as well, and like a safe space to just do.
That's kind of
other
the
stuff.
Reason why I felt like year 5 and year 6 were easygoing, because of at lunchtime or break time, I was just in Miss Salter's room. I wasn't out in the playground, because I was just like, I don't trust there.
Yeah.
The only times that where there was issues was at actual like lessons, because they can't control that.
So actually, because often what schools will talk about is like, you know, you've got to have social inclusion, and then they're sometimes shy away from letting kids not be part of break and lunch. But you, it sounds like you much preferred that.
Kind of half the time I think playgrounds are there for like a sense of freedom.
Yeah.
But I also think it is kind of stupid when you think about how little staff members are there to help with the bullying.
Yeah.
Because even though my town that I come from is very small, the school has like 300, 400 students there that go on the playground every single day. And it's not like... And it would be fine if they had like 10 staff members down at the playground. No, they only have 1, 2, or 3.
Mm.
It's just like, and
to expect like, I know, and I'm not excusing anything that anyone's done to you, but to expect young people to have the sort of empathy and self-control to not do anything horrible to someone is. It's a lot, you know, especially in those big groups, you know. And I'm not saying what they did was right, but they may not have been old enough to understand how shit they were making you feel sometimes.
Yeah.
Or at least not to think about it.
And I think by the point of year 4, I was like, if I want my, like, time as a, like... If I wanted to still be happy with my martial arts and still be happy with school and still learn, I kind of need to be the person that walks away, not to be the person to stay there and hope the other people do.
Yeah, okay. So you
And even though that's not a good way of thinking about life, you should never be the person to walk away. They should always, in that situation, they should always be the person. But I was just like, they're not going to do it, so I'm going to do it. But... Like, apart from that...
Why do you think that's not... Because I would say walking away is actually quite a good strategy.
I understand it's a good strategy, but what I'm saying is, I shouldn't be the way it works is if the bully is the person that walks away, he's a better man. He's a better man. If I walk away, I am a wuss. I am a person that cannot handle that. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. It's just...
No, I get it. That's how it feels. Like, and also, in some sense, like, why should you be the one walking away when they've initiated bullying? I think it's just, I guess, objectively, it's a strategy that's going to be more helpful to you.
Yeah.
But you've then also got to deal with that internal, oh, I'm a wuss for walking away.
Yeah.
Which I know is quite, for you, that's especially difficult because you do so much work with your martial arts and things like that, you know.
Yeah. I think we should move on to secondary school because I can't think of anything else.
No, that's also it's important you've mentioned this incident with another young person who then was in your secondary school because... Yeah. And it was a bit like, what year, you were in like year 10, 9 when we started working together?
It was year 9.
So actually, so we'll come back to that, but let's get the start. So secondary, was it, because I'm going to give away the end now, it's not worked out quite right.
It hasn't.
So what, when did that start? Was it literally day one?
The issue was day one.
Right.
Because if I walked in to see... my fellow classmates already noticed literally almost every single bully over the years was at my school.
Right.
Is there any way that they could have known
that or done that differently? Or
I think there should be a rule of if this person is a bully and they were kicked out of a school for bullying, they should not be allowed to go to a school where the person they bullied is going to. I think it shouldn't be allowed. I think they should go to a school where they, the people that they haven't bullied, they go to. I think that should be a rule. But I'm not in control of this.
No.
But I saw two people that were kicked out of my school for bullying go to the new school.
And were one they in your class or were they just in your school?
One of them got kicked out 60 days in, so they weren't, I didn't really notice them apart from day one. The second one is still there.
Yeah.
And the one of them was in my classes, yes.
Okay.
If
nothing else, that would be something they could change. Because it would be quite hard to disperse everyone around schools, unfortunately, depending on who they bullied. But they could certainly know and ask you at the start, is there anyone you don't want to be in a class with and why? And that could have been...
Here's the issue with how secondary schools are set up. With my secondary school, you was put into different sets.
Yeah.
I was at top set because I was one of the smartest. I was in top set and middle set for year one or year seven, whatever you want to call it. But no matter what set I was in, there was always about 3 to 4 bullies in the class.
Right.
And there's, what, six different groups? It's,
so how many bullies were in that school with you then, would you say?
So 6 times 3, 18 at least.
Right, okay. Yeah, I remember at one point you gave me a list of people you would struggle with, and it was quite a lot. Okay, so that's day one, you're already on edge, you're feeling, anxious because of that.
I think the biggest issue I had with the school at the time was not just the bullying system.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that the education until like year 10-ish time, and I was already left by year 10, the education was so easy that it wasn't really like learning. It just felt like I was in a room with people I hate.
Right.
Doing stuff you nothing, already knew. Pretty much. Because of some of the stuff I was learning was like, how to do multiplication, how to do grid references, how to do stuff like... All this stuff I learned in year 3.
Okay.
And it was just infuriating, just being in a room with people I hate and not having anything to do.
So it was like the social side that was the issue.
Not because of what I've already done this stuff, there was just 20 minutes of each lesson where I had nothing to do. I was just sat there and I'm like, sir, a miss, I finished my work. And they're like, we haven't got any more for you, so you just have to sit there.
Okay.
Luckily, when it came to art or DT, they would give you something else to do. Like, they would be like, okay, we'll put some music on, do some colouring. Or in DT, they'd be like, okay, design something by using, like, acrylic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not even hard, is it? Like, put some music on, do some colouring. They could have done that in every lesson, really.
Yeah, no, but what they mean is they'll put music on and then they'll give you some, like, colouring to do.
Yeah.
It's just like...
But that's what I mean. Like, even anyone else could have gone and gone, well, yeah, do some colouring or here's an extra worksheet. You know, it's not a hard thing to set up.
I think, year seven, it was year eight where I think I had my first big issue.
Right.
Because year seven, I think, was... We got halfway through and then COVID happened.
Of course, yes. But, you had all of that. What was that like? Was that like a relief because you didn't have to go to school?
It was half a relief, half a really big issue for me.
Right.
Because I was... Oh, my phone's ringing. Can you pause it?
Yeah, I can do that. There we go. We're back.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Year eight, you were talking about.
It's year seven, year eight, COVID happened, but it was right at the point where it was getting to the end of the year. It was like I was finally getting the groove of it because they were starting introducing, in English, they were starting introducing like Shakespeare and stuff like that, and I was really enjoying that.
So school had actually got better just school before.
School finally got to the point where I was learning something new.
Yeah.
But I felt like each year they did that, it was the final, like, 3 months where they would introduce stuff I haven't done.
Right.
But then COVID hit, and then I was like, what am I meant to do now? And when it came to educating at home, I couldn't do it. I needed a teacher. And it took them 3 months before they introduced the system of the people that need it most can go to school.
Yeah.
There'd be one teacher there, there'd be lunches, and I found that really good because of what they would do is they'd let you listen to music, they'd let you do your work whilst listening to music. There was a teacher there, so if you struggled, they'd try and help you, and you did not have to do certain subjects. You could literally do 5 times maths. You could do 5 times English. And I also got away with doing something very funny. Whenever the music came up, because I was like, I know all this. Can I just make a song? I would just spend an hour just writing a song.
Nice.
And yeah.
This irritates me a bit because
You
are not the first person I've heard that from. I've spoken to so many kids, particularly autistic kids, that did way better when it was the COVID lockdown type school.
Yeah.
And again, to me, that's just information that a lot of young people, not just autistic, would do much better in that kind of environment.
I think I know why. Because if there were bullies at that area,
right.
I think it's because when lockdown happened, because if it was lockdown, they had nobody. They had nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why don't we go outside and do something? Because when break time hit, we would go do like we'd play football. We would.
So the bullies that would bully you were actually including you. For
because if I had 2 bullies there, one of them which was horrific, just were like, screw it, let's just be nice to each other for a change.
But again, I think with a smaller environment, so when you've got thousands of kids, it's a lot easier for you to pick your group and go, oh, you're not in our group.
Yeah.
Screw you. Whereas when it's a smaller environment, you kind of, like you say, well, we're together, we might as well figure it out and get on with each other a little bit.
But what I kind of really regret about lockdown school, it made me feel like a sense of heaven. But because a year eight was the hardest year for me, it went from heaven straight to hell.
Right, so when you went back in, it was a complete nightmare.
I think within the first 2 weeks of going back to a normal school environment, I told one person that I thought was my friend, my crush, and then by the end of the day, everyone in the school knew who it was and knew who I was.
Right, so they did not respect your
And not privacy. Only that, year 8 was the year where I think I went back to martial arts.
Yeah.
So, because I needed, like, that sense of, like, more power. Because I was like, if I can't be seen as a person they should respect, I would just build myself to be a person that can scare them so they can't actually mess with me.
Right.
Because if I'm bigger than them, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Okay.
And by the... Because of year 8, when year 8 started, it was the end of year 8. Because, yeah, it was just like that one year. So year 9, I got into year 9 and it was weird. I wouldn't say it was hard. I wouldn't say it was easy. But it was weird. Okay. And...
Why weird?
Because year 9 was the kind of time where it was... I had stuff going on in and outside of school. And I kind of tried to get some friends and also get, like, a backup. But none of it really worked. It felt like I was dimming the light. But the light was already bright, so it just felt like... It just felt like I was putting out the fire with gasoline, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you got, like, detail, I mean, if you're happy to share about the friendship side of things.
So, friendship, I had people that half the time they were nice to me, but the other half of the time they were absolute dickheads.
I see.
So,
yeah.
That was the only friendship group I could make, but because by year 9, all the people that I really liked left the school.
Oh, I see.
Because they were like, oh, we don't like you, and you, let's leave. And by year 9, it was a case of all the people I was friends with were also my bullies, and I could not control that. Because of the people that were also, I could be friends with, were either younger than me, and I don't want to be friends with people younger than me.
Right.
Or it was people that I just don't actually like. It was
you
just
were having to
friendship.
Make your social group include people that you didn't you
and I don't
want to
be by year 9 I didn't want to be lonely because year 9 was probably the year where I kind of felt like I need people around me the most,
right?
And it just got to a point where every single day I got used to the feeling of people calling me such horrific names they should be put in prison. For people, obviously, if you don't understand autism, you probably don't understand this word. Spastic. It means when someone has fits and they, like, can't control their body and they just start moving crazily.
Mm.
I was called that on a daily basis, even though I'm nothing compared to that. I'm not a person that has that problem.
Yeah.
And I got called that on a daily basis. That word is so hurtful. I would compare it to the N-word. Mm. And I got called that on a daily basis. I got when I walked into the school, it'd be morning retard or morning spastic, and I hated it. And yeah, I just tried to, like, try and get away from that, but I couldn't, if that makes sense. Half the time, I'd spend my time in year 8, the year 8 area, just so I don't have to deal with them.
Okay.
And yeah, it was either I was in learning support with the other people that just didn't want to hang out with that kind of group, or I was down in year 8 area, or I was just somewhere else. I tried as hard as I could to never spend my time with them, but they would keep coming back. Hell, one time someone threw sweets at me as a joke about the fact that I was fat at the time.
Jesus. Yeah.
And then someone whispered someone in their ear, and I didn't know what they said. Hell, it was, they were like, it'd be funny if you punch that guy in the dick. And then someone, I think one of the friends of them, just dropped down to one knee. I was like, are you proposing or something? What the hell are you doing? Then just gave me an uppercut from hell.
Right.
And I was in so much pain for, like, next week. That guy, and this is the reason why I hate the punishment system at that school.
So you told someone about this?
I told instantly. Right. I don't care. At that year 9, I was a teacher's pet. I don't care.
Well, also, that is what you get told, isn't it? Is it, oh, you know, if you're being bullied, you should tell a teacher.
Yeah.
And that's what they tell you.
Yeah.
So did that make a difference?
The punishment system in the secondary school is worse than the primary school.
Right.
Because the first thing they can do is send you to isolation, but all the people that work in isolation are pastorals, so they're ridiculously nice and let you play video games. Right. The people that are in isolation are their best mates.
Right.
And it's just one day. It's not like they're out of... And also, the other thing, they're out of lessons, and it's one day. Yeah. So it's just like, they can just be like, okay, I'm going to bully someone, which is fun, then I'm going to get out of lessons for a day, and I'm with my friend.
Yeah.
And then, the second thing they do, and this is the only other thing they do, is they suspend them. And they do not send them work, and when they do, they don't do it, because of they don't have teachers coming around to see them do it.
Yeah.
So they're just off, probably having a really good time, probably eating ice cream or something stupid, and they don't have to come into school.
Mm.
And the one thing they should be doing is expelling, and they don't do that. And you may be thinking, oh, expelling is literally not allowing them ever back going back into the school. I want to point out, these people that bully me have punched me more times than I can count. They've called me retard and spastic more times than I can count. They have done stuff that is literally couldn't be law, like, jail worthy.
Mm. Well, and also ultimately, because I'm not a massive believer in punishment either way, but I have to say, like, when you look at it that way, I think a lot of what they did led to you not being expelled, but getting to a point where you couldn't access school. So in a way, you've kind of been expelled and not them.
There was one student which... It wasn't the kid from primary school that I actually got really angry at, because there was this one student that led to me not going back to my martial arts. Mm. This one student, I will not name him because of obvious reasons. The first time he did this, he threw a massive block of wood at my head. Hit me dead in the head. I'm surprised I didn't get a concussion. I'm surprised I didn't start bleeding. But I almost got knocked out. I fell to the floor. And that day is a blur to me now. And I told the staff members, and you'd expect, okay, he's thrown something that could kill someone at someone's head.
Mm.
What would you expect a punishment would be like that? Suspension for 2 weeks, well, maybe an expulsion.
If you were no, an
RTL, LTL for 2 days. Mm. Isolation for 2 days.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It certainly is, because...
The second time isn't much better, because he tried to push me down a flight of stone stairs, and it wouldn't... It's like it's a long flight. It's not like it's not going to hurt you. It's a long flight. And I just remember grabbing the handrail, and if I did not grab that handrail, I would have broken bones or some sort of injury. And it was caught on camera, he got the same punishment. Isolation for 2 days.
Mm.
I hate when you even have proof of someone doing something horrific, they don't do any punishment that's worth actually punishing someone for.
Yeah. Well, and I think as well, like, again, it's in my line of work, I work with people that get upset and do things and lash out, and I wouldn't want them to be punished long term, but I suppose if you're talking about someone that's not dysregulated and having a meltdown and not in control of what they're doing, and you're talking about someone that chooses to physically bully someone, then I guess that could be something. Well, so, and was there some incident on a bus as well?
Oh yeah, back in year seven.
Yeah.
I was on the public bus, so there was members of the public on there.
Yeah.
They saw me sat on the floor when there was open bus seats, but I was banished from the open bus seats because the students that would take the open bus seats wouldn't let me sit there. I have literally changed buses more times than I can count. I went from a Swords bus to a public bus, back to a Swords bus, to a Berry's bus, back to a Swords bus, back to a Berry's bus, back to a Swords bus. Then I left the school. And I just remember on the last day that I was in, I was just like, I cannot handle this anymore. I am so burnt out. So I just left the school. And I think at this point in time, this was just around the same time that I met Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's me.
Yeah, and I just think, I was thinking, school sucks. And by this point, I also said, I'm not going to martial arts anymore because of the other thing that was happening at the time was martial arts started being discriminationists, and what they would do is they'd give everyone apart from me breaks. I would have to wait half an hour of the 60-minute session before I could have a break. And that would be fine if they would do normal things of just doing line work or sparring.
What was their reason for everybody else having a break but you? That sounds bizarre. Like, what would they, why would
and
they...
I know it wasn't just them like trying to improve me, because before I left the first time they didn't know I was autistic.
Right.
And that time every like 15 minutes when we've done something, finished a certain part of the lesson, they would give you a drink, they would let you like have a break for a minute. But I remember so, like, just so fondly, that on the day of my final grading, when I was going from a brown belt to a brown stripe, so halfway up the rank, I remember tearing my quad. Mm. And I was telling the instructor's helper that I can barely walk. And they're like, well, if you do not get up, you're not passing your grading. And I'm like, I've torn my quad.
Right.
What do you expect me to do?
But did they have a reason why you couldn't have a break and not other people?
They didn't.
Okay.
And they would always put me with people that I cannot spar. And when I did spar them, they would go full force and they would expect me to not.
Right.
And I remember them laughing at me when I got full on full force kicked in the penis.
Right.
And then they, like, about a minute later, when I was still screaming in pain, they were like, come on, get up. I'm like, oh, you get kicked in the penis and see how it feels. So,
So that stopped working out for you. And
yeah.
I'm just conscious of time, mate, because it's been awesome, actually, sharing that. I think a lot of people will benefit. But I'm kind of keen to get on to, because where you're at now, you're obviously not at that school anymore. There was a period of time where I was working with you and the school to try and make it work, but ultimately, I think their expectation and the local authorities' expectation that kids that have experienced that much traumatic stuff in an environment are ever going to feel safe in it again is too much. And I said as much to the school, I think, at one point. So what has, just because we, you know, so people are going to want some hope, and I don't know how you feel at the moment, but I feel like you've turned a corner a little bit and your more positive things are starting to happen. What has helped, or what do you think?
So
works?
I'm now booked for January into a autism specialist school. I am in a environment in a forest where I get to meet lovely people that are very similar to me, and I have now got a friendship group of some people. That was the phone call I was about to go
on. Yeah, got interrupted by your mates.
If I wasn't here, I would be gaming on Fortnite right now with my friends. I'm like, again, I've now got more time to spend with Sam. I've got a gym group that I go to every Saturday.
Yep.
And right now, all I can say is I'm feeling better. I am feeling more healthy. I'm feeling, genuinely, mentally more healthy, physically more healthy, emotionally more healthy. Just perfect. I'm feeling as good as I have for the last 6-7 years.
Okay, so if there was either a parent or a professional or even a young person going through or supporting someone going through a similar situation where, say, their child had such difficult time at school they were no longer wanting to go, what would you recommend? What do you think would help?
I would say find a person that isn't a therapist, isn't a counsellor, isn't a enabler. Find someone that's, which is pretty much a magic trick, but is all three. that's what I've got with Sam. And also, just stay strong. Just, if you've gone through the worst of it, and you're going through the worst of it, you know it can't get any worse. Just see what the school or the problem is. See if you can fix it. If you can't, find somewhere else. Find something else.
So you think that change of environment and is quite important?
Also, I think the main thing you also should do, find the thing that makes you the most happy and try it and do it as often as you can. Because that's what I do with seeing Sam. It's what I do with going to the gym. It's what I do when it comes to music. It is what I do when it comes to gaming. I have those things.
Mm.
But, yeah, just keep yourself as positive as you can and you'll make it through.
I love that. That's a really good way to sort of draw to a close. But I think what's important to mention as well, which you've done, is despite probably having good reason not to trust certain provisions, things that have been offered to you,
mm-hmm.
adults you've not met, you have been supported to do that through your mum and Mick. And I think it's really important that someone who's experienced that still tries to get out there and try different stuff. And know when to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore, but also know when to give something a try. Because otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be at that forest place.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have found other pathways that work.
I'll tell you this right now. If I wasn't seeing you anymore, I would be in a very bad place right now.
That's not a nice thing, because I would rather you
didn't. Yeah, but it is a nice thing thinking about that I'm in the best spot I can be right now.
Oh, good. Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm
glad you feel that way.
Always know when to say no, but always know when to say yes, pretty much, is what the idea is.
Yeah. What about, just to sort of, I guess, add to that, what do you think is good? I feel like it's hard to set for me to say it without sounding like an arrogant sod, but what do I do? Why am I more helpful than other adults that might have tried?
So, I need a person that isn't my mum, so isn't my friends, that I can pretty much just let go of all my information that I have over the past week, that I don't care if they hear it, because if I know that it's safe with someone like you, and it isn't a therapist, so it isn't like, oh, they're trying to fix me, and it isn't a counsellor where they just won't do anything, and it isn't an enabler where their only goal is to have fun.
Right, it's like a mix.
You are a mix of all the best bits of all three, where I know I'm happy.
Okay, and what about, so in terms of listening then, is it that you feel that I won't judge or tell you off about something, so that makes it easier to share? Okay, cool. Just so I know what I'm doing, right and wrong.
The way I judge people is if I can see myself as your best friend,
mm-hmm.
that's how I know I've got a person that I can trust. And that's how I know I've got a person that I enjoy spending time with.
Hmm. See, that's really interesting, because obviously, you know, I'm upfront and clear. Like, you know, this is my job and I really enjoy my job and I enjoy spending my time with you. But, it's a profession. But I always try and work with people in that way, because at the end of the day, you want to feel relaxed with someone who is on a level. You know, we're on a level. It's not like I'm the adult and professional and blah, 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 you listen to me.
Yeah.
It's just we're here together. We're on a level and seems to work better, you know. Awesome. Right. Well, thank you, Zach. I honestly, genuinely, I was kind of doing this to, you know, give you a bit of oomph about doing your own podcast, but I'm definitely going to use this episode because I think a lot of people will have been through similar journeys and really benefit from hearing what's worked for you. So thank you very much.